Good morning, everyone. We begin with the situation in India. You've seen the pictures for the last 12 hours or so. Terrorist attacks in Mumbai, India, the city formerly known as Bombay, the financial center of India, a city of 19 million, has been engulfed in terror. This story just in, the Indian Navy says its forces are boarding a cargo ship suspected of ties to the Mumbai attacks that killed 101 people. That's the count at this hour. Navy spokesman Captain Manohar Nambiar said today that the ship, the MV Alpha, had recently come to Mumbai from Karachi, Pakistan. Nambiar says the Navy has located the ship and is in the process of boarding it and searching it. No other details and no official link between this ship and the attacks that have killed more than 100 people, 300 injured, and suspected Islamic militants attacked 10 sites, including hotels in Mumbai. It's left the city in a ghostly state of shock.
It's actually hauntingly quiet over here, but we keep watching the TV, and everyone's quite edgy. Everyone's quite shocked at the randomness of this, and we've never seen something like this, where people have used, AK-47s and grenades.
And used those weapons in that city to target apparently Westerners. The terrorists were reported asking for people with American and British passports. Joining us now from London is Rob Watson, the BBC security correspondent. Rob, I know you've been watching the same video we've been seeing the last 12 hours or so. What do these attacks on the financial center, this very important city in India, say about the security situation in that country?
Well, a couple of things. There's no doubt that this is the most audacious attack carried out in India in recent months. Of course, India is no stranger to terrorist attacks. Indeed, it's had them ever since the state's foundation. But this really does seem to be qualitatively and quantitatively in a different class, clearly very sophisticated, clearly very well coordinated. At this point, it seems that the Indian authorities, not surprisingly, perhaps have their focus on trying to rescue those who may still be inside the hotels and to try and account for all of those who were involved in the attacks, because at this moment, it's still very murky indeed.
And it's going to take days to sort that out. I'm wondering if there's any way to even link this attack to some sort of boiling internal turmoil inside of India, because it doesn't seem to fit the profile of the kinds of attacks that we've seen in the past.
Well, certainly what we've had so far is a claim from a previously completely unheard of group called the Deccan Mujahideen. Now, Deccan just refers to a geographical area in India in the south and central area, but this doesn't necessarily mean that the attackers were from there. It should be said that over the last 2 years, there have indeed been similar attacks to this, perhaps not quite as spectacular, and they have all been claimed by a group called the Indian Mujahideen. Now, that group is equally mysterious, and the Indian authorities seem to know very little about it. I don't think there's much doubt that what's behind this is Islamic extremists, but I guess the key question is going to be in the coming days and weeks and months is, are these somehow homegrown Indian Islamic extremists, which would be something new and very worrying for New Delhi, or is it something more like what we've seen in the past, and that is Islamist groups but connected to extremists in Pakistan and in Afghanistan?
There also seems to be an experimentation going on here that we are watching vividly and brutally live on television of a tactic developing, that these terrorists are attempting to use a different sort of method of bringing a city of 19 million to its knees. Is it clear who the target is? Is it tourists? Is it the financial center? Is it a particular set of institutions?
You're quite right that this attack does seem qualitatively different, although there have been some spectacular attacks in other cities in the last couple of months. One thinks of Bangalore and Ahmedabad. This attack seems different because it has targeted the financial district of Bombay. The fact that it's targeted symbols of Bombay's wealth and prominence, and the fact, of course, that Westerners seem to have been targeted. We've heard all this direct eyewitness evidence that the attackers were asking for people with American and British passports. So clearly those behind this attack wanted to cause maximum damage to India's domestic economy, to bring the city to a standstill, but they were also clearly seeking maximum international publicity for their attack.
And they certainly achieved that. Finally, another headline in South Asia that appears to have Westerners as the target, the explosion on this Thanksgiving morning in Afghanistan, in Kabul, Afghanistan. What can you tell us about that?
Well, again, it's not clear who the target was. Essentially, it was a rush hour attack. It was a suicide car bombing. It happened in one of the main thoroughfares of Kabul. It happened about 150 yards from the American embassy, so it's possible that perhaps this attack went off prematurely and that the real target had been the American embassy and any Thanksgiving celebrations. But it's also possible there was at the time a NATO convoy going past, so perhaps that was the intended target. Not clear at this point. Certainly it seems to be that there are four dead, many injured, and interesting, one of the comments from the eyewitnesses on the street in Kabul, this is just common to us. It's an everyday occurrence.
No, it's tragic and sort of sad that that seems to be the impression at the exact moment that so much about Afghanistan is being reconsidered as the new president reassesses the security situation over there. Rob Watson, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks.
Rob Watson is the BBC's defense correspondent speaking to us from London.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.